This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Clipped Wings.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to check in with the broader economy as trading gets underway for the day. We call it the morning open, and we start with this question. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are down right now. The S&P down by nearly 1.5%. The NASDAQ the same, about 1.5% down. And the Dow off 122 points right now at 10,303. European shares are lower by about 1% or less. In Asia today, stocks closed mostly lower, except for the Chinese benchmark, which gained a little ground today. The start of the business day is grounded for some in the busy morning rush hour. We're getting word this morning that a glitch in the Federal Aviation Administration computer program that tracks flight plans has caused widespread flight delays and cancellations. These are flights all along the East Coast. Delta and AirTran are particularly affected, and both have hubs at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta. Let's talk with airline analyst David Field. He's with us live this morning from Virginia. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So based on what you know, do you have a sense of what kind of impact this is having?
It's having nationwide impact. The computer, as you say, is used to load flight plans for individual airplanes, and it covers the entire eastern half of the U.S., everything east of the Mississippi. There's another computer in Salt Lake City that does similar stuff. When the computer went down at about 6:20 this morning, pilots had to reload their flight plans by hand, and this led the FAA to a conundrum. What are you going to do when you can't get the flight plans up and flying? And they decided to impose delays at the busiest part of the system, which happens to be Atlanta, which is where the computer happens to be. And that's why Delta, the major airline at Hartsfield, and AirTran, the number two airline at Hartsfield, are the most heavily impacted airlines so far.
Give us an idea, David. I mean, manually doing these flight plans, that's got to be a hassle.
It's a hassle. It slows things down, and the fact is, the fact that you have to do them a second time is a hassle, because the pilots had already done most of these flight plans once, and when the computer rejected them, they had to do them again. They include things like the aircraft number, the flight number, the planned altitude, the planned waypoints that the route will take the aircraft over, and the planned speed.
Yeah. Is it a common thing? Very quickly, does this happen a lot?
It happens more than it should. It happens more than you think it would. The last time this happened was in August of 2008, and that took a whole day to dig out from under.
All right. Well, David Field, airline analyst, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
All right. We told you this week about Time Warner's plans to spin off America Online in a few weeks. Now the struggling AOL says if the separation goes through, jobs will be cut. We're talking about a third of its workforce, 2,300 employees. And more job cuts were announced today. Health insurer Aetna says it's cutting 625 workers. It says more cuts could be ahead because of the possible impact of health care reform. Senate Democrats, incidentally, yesterday unveiled their proposal for overhauling the health care system while reducing the federal deficit. And Sears Holdings said today it lost money. Again, it's the second consecutive quarter that Sears reported a loss. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, November 19th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Today, labor leaders in Sweden are pressing Chinese carmaker Geely to disclose details about where it's getting the financing for its bid to buy Volvo from Ford. Now, the union is said to be concerned that the $2 billion deal is being backed by the Chinese government and what that may mean for jobs at the Swedish carmaker. Christopher Worth has more.
Public opinion in Sweden over the sale of Volvo is divided. Geely is one of China's largest automakers, and many fear that Volvo's precious safety technology will simply be exported to Asia, leaving factories in Sweden sitting empty. Mark Fulthorpe is an analyst with CMS Worldwide. He says most likely the deal does have backing from the Chinese government.
This goes back to the, you know, this ambition that the Chinese government has to try and consolidate and become international players in the automotive sector.
But Fulthorpe says much of that new production could end up focused on a different family of vehicles suited to China's domestic market, while Sweden continues to develop the kind of small, lightweight vehicles that Europeans and North Americans are demanding. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Well, on a day like today, we see how many airline alliances there are, and they are a big deal for the airlines as a way to make money and for passengers as a convenience, despite today. Look at the case of Japan Airlines. It's teetering on the brink of bankruptcy, and oddly enough, potential saviors are right here in the United States, which got us thinking, are partnerships becoming more and more important in airline deals? Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Right now, Japan Airlines, or JAL for short, is part of American Airlines' One World Alliance. That means Americans' customers can buy one ticket and connect on a JAL flight and vice versa. These days, almost every big airline is part of a similar partnership.
If you want to be a global airline, you have to fly to where your customers want to go, and an alliance is a much cheaper way to be able to expand your network.
Jim Corridor is an airline analyst with Standard & Poor's. He says alliances are great for attracting business travelers, the ones who pay full price for a seat at the front of the plane. They also reduce competition, but there are risks.
If your alliance partner defects, suddenly you're left high and dry without a strong presence in a market.
That's the dilemma American Airlines faces as Delta tries to woo JAL from One World to the SkyTeam. The winner won't just be able to market itself as a strong player in Asia. Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says these partnerships also help airlines save money.
So Delta and Air France, for example, who have their joint venture, across the Atlantic, they're able to say, you know what? Maybe we each used to have two flights between New York and Paris, but maybe we don't need a total of four flights. Maybe we only need a total of three flights to really match the capacity to demand.
And he says they can coordinate the schedules of those three flights so customers can connect to short-haul flights on either end. Do customers end up paying more? Probably not, according to Kaplan. He says airline tickets are about as cheap as they've ever been. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The Obama administration promised transparency like never before when it unveiled its stimulus package. Businesses that got money would have to report how many jobs they created, but there are reports that some of the information isn't quite on the mark. And today, the House Oversight Committee holds a hearing to try to sort out fact from fiction. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Some of the stimulus reports include jobs allegedly created in congressional districts that don't exist. One company used the stimulus money to give out raises, counting them as new jobs. The White House says these were simple mistakes, but Marvin Koster says the Obama administration is attempting the impossible with its jobs count. Koster is an economist at the American Enterprise Institute.
Economists are best at making judgment about, will this lead to more jobs or fewer jobs? They're very poor, really, at making an estimate how many more or how many fewer.
John Irons disagrees. He's an economist with the Economic Policy Institute scheduled to testify today. He'll tell the Oversight Committee the White House might have actually undercounted jobs because people hired with stimulus money indirectly create more jobs.
And that construction worker then goes out and spends money at either local diner or the local McDonald's or the local movie theater. That could very well mean an additional job.
As the debate continues, Congress is considering more legislation to create jobs. Nobody's saying how many. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Barnes & Noble wants to avoid a potential hostile takeover, so the Booksellers Board has come up with this poison pill, protecting the company in case an investor buys 20% or more of its stock. And billionaire Ronald Burkle is almost there. He's been gobbling up millions of shares. For those on the outside, the question is, with sales of books down, why invest in a dwindling market? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
Some see bookstores as an endangered species, a doomed industry.
It
may be a doomed industry, but at the same time, if you're one of the top players in a doomed industry, it may not be so bad.
That's David Carnoy, executive editor at the technology website CNET. He says the book retailer has an edge over rivals like Borders because Barnes & Noble has developed its own electronic book reader.
If they can make this transition to e-books and make it more profitable to produce books, that will certainly help.
It's helped Amazon, where sales of the Kindle have taken off. Carnoy says consumers want more competition in the e-book market, which is good for Barnes & Noble. Its e-book reader is called the Nook. Shipments have been delayed, but the Nook is expected to be on store shelves in time for the holiday shopping season. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Packaged food giant Pinnacle Brands has its eye on Bird's Eye. The Wall Street Journal reports Pinnacle will pay more than $1.3 billion for the frozen food company. For Marketplace's New York Bureau, Elisa Roth reports.
Bird's Eye is the biggest frozen vegetable company in the country. Pinnacle does business in the freezer, too. Among other things, it makes Swanson's frozen dinners and Mrs. Paul's fish sticks. But the two companies have more in common than just the freezer case. Both are owned by private equity firms. If this deal goes through, it would be one more indication that private equity firms are getting back into action again. David Carey's a senior writer at The Deal. He says private equity firms have been waiting.
And they're sitting on a huge amount of uninvested capital, and they have been for a while. What turns the spigot on and off is the availability of debt financing.
He says there's not as much money out there as there has been, but that the private equity market is starting to move again. Bird's Eye had been planning an IPO. It filed with the SEC last month. The IPO was meant to raise money to pay off some of the $700 million it has in debt. If this deal goes through, the IPO would be off the table. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And as you heard, private equity is playing a key role in the deal. That could mean things are thawing out a bit in the mergers and acquisitions department. Julie Nieman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So what's happening in the economy to cause private equity firms to loosen up a bit?
Well, bottom line, there's a little more availability of capital. They're getting a lot of money coming in from hedge funds and from individuals. They're hopefully going to pick up the slack that banks are not lending. So private equity is becoming the new lender of last resort. Now, the deals aren't big, but what they're doing is kicking in cash that has been sitting on the sidelines.
And, you know, we heard this morning, Julie, about the AOL and Aetna job cuts. On the initial jobless claim front, not much improvement, according to the Labor Department. Number of first-time claims about the same, rose just a little bit, about 3,000. Where's this economic recovery? Where are the jobs?
Well, I expect the pundits to put lipstick on this pig, and by that mean not getting worse is somehow great news and the economy's adding new jobs. No, it really means there's a statistical lull in the firings, and it's temporary. What we're going to be seeing are more mass layoffs coming into the data, and many of these jobs simply aren't coming back. Everything that was related to housing and construction, a fraction will come back. But, you know, selling, financing, mortgaging, furnishing, that won't come back. A job serving an out-of-control, debt-driven economy is really gone.
Julie Nieman joining us from St. Louis this morning. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
We do appreciate it. And finally, some people in this economy have something to smile about. Perhaps maybe they don't. Maybe they shouldn't smile because they're probably without some of their teeth. Gold topped $1,140 an ounce this week. It's eased back a bit. But suffice it to say, the value of the yellow commodity's really taken off. So people are cashing in what they have. In Hannibal, Missouri, for example, the owner of Crescent Jewelry says customers are coming in every day trying to get money for some of their fillings and bridges. Some of them even have real teeth attached. We await your biting comments. Check us out online at our website, marketplace.org. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is waiting for you as well. Online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.